Shir this morning is sponsored kindly by Dr. Simpson, Yeru Nishmas Chai Sarabas Harav Shmuel Halevi, whose Yortzeit, his grandmother's Yortzeit, is Vay Bayom today. Also, we thank Rosenblum for sponsoring Yeru Nishmas Henya Chemda Bas Shmuel, that's Michael's mother, whose Yortzeit was last Tuesday, night, Wednesday, and the Refuah Shlema of Yehuda Ben Briner. This morning, I have to admit that I woke up very excited, more excited than I have for a long time, because today, this morning, we had access to something we have not had access for a full year, and that is the bracha of Birkas Elanos. Today is the first day, technically speaking, that we're allowed to say the bracha, because we are now in the month of Nisan. Yesterday was Shabbos, and according to many poskim, we don't say the bracha on Shabbos, which means to say that this morning, as we woke up, is the first available day to say the Birkas Elanos, which means this morning is something very special. And I have to admit that I'm a little biased, because I spent a number of years in Israel, and I always used to go back to South Africa for Ben Azmanim. And the issue was the following, is that Ben Azmanim, as you know, as you can see by the appearance of all our younger folks in Shul, usually starts around Rosh Chodesh Nissan and reclaims everybody around Rosh Chodesh Iyar, which meant that I was usually out of Israel for the entire month of Nissan, and in South Africa at this time of year, there ain't no blossoms to be seen. So on an annual basis, for 3 years, I almost missed the bracha 3 years round, because by the time I got back, there weren't any blossoms left. So for me, this is a very exciting experience to be able to have re-access to this. What I'd like to do with you today is revisit it. We spent 2 years ago, we learned a little bit about this. And we spent a little bit of time last year, and I'd encourage you, if you're interested, to the shir is available online. We talked about seasons and how early and how late. This year was an early year for the bracha, in a sense, because we already seen the blossoms for a few weeks now, and it wasn't Nisan. So is one allowed to say the bracha early? Is one allowed to say the bracha later? Those are the things we discussed beforehand. What the reason is, you know, we talked about the Kabbalistically, the neshama is ascending in the times of Nisan and Tishrei. Very, very interesting ideas behind the Birkas Elanos. Today, I want to focus on a completely different aspect of it. Here's the Gemara, just to recap where this originates. Gemara, brachas on Mem Gimel on Beis, source 1. Omar Rav Yehuda. Hi man, Rav Yehuda would say, a person, denofik b'yumid Nisan, a person who walks out in the month of Nisan, that's us. V'chazi iloni dekom elav levi, and he sees a tree which is sprouting forth, which is bubbling forth these blossoms. Omar would say, baruch shelo chisar ba'olamai klum, blessed is God who does not leave off anything in his world. Ubara boy brios tovois v'ilonos tovois desnois boy bnei adam, and creates beautiful trees and that people can gain benefit from them. And then the Gemara goes on into the next section, which is Birkas Areach, which is the benefit gained from smell, which is interesting in general, because we've moved from, you know, sight into smell. That duff is sort of we'll call it the extra gastronomical pleasures, it sounds like, that one is blessing on. Very fascinating. And that is the Gemara, very, very terse. There's not much discussed about in the Gemara. This is a very, very small sugya in general. So what often happens is in these types of events, is there sometimes a question which sounds trivial, but when one's trying to appreciate the essence of an idea, the question, although it seems like a technical or trivial question, in fact is really the lever or the lever to the entire matter. So in this particular instance, there's a question which is asked by Rabbi Akiva Eger on Shulchan Aruch, which it seems like a technical question, but is really the doorway into, it's our gateway to the access of this entire sugya. We paskin in Shulchan Aruch, as is seen in Source 2. This is in Aruch Chaim. Reish Chavov, only one sev. A person who sees, it goes out in Nisan and sees that there are fruit trees which are flowering, blossoming. Changes the nusach a little bit from the Gemara there, that people can benefit from these trees. A person can only bless once a year, meaning to say if you're traveling and you're in a different seasonal country and you're seeing the blossoms twice a year, that's not going to help you. Ad shegala peres lo yivarech ad. And the Shulchan Aruch says that if already the trees are already sprouting forth, the buds for their fruit, that's too late to say the bracha, even though the blossoms still remain. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Very, very, very small simon, very small sif. Not so much which seems to be packed into there. So Rabbi Akiva Eger asked the following. Rabbi Akiva Eger, of course, living in the late 1700s to the early 1800s in Eisenstadt and later Posen, says the following. Vara ilonos. So he says the following. He asks the following question. Im ha'ilonos toch gimel shanim lenetziyasam. If you have trees which are within 3 years of their planting, which constitutes therefore the halachic category of orla. We know that a fruit tree which is within its first 3 years of growth is asur. We can't use it. We can't benefit from an orla tree. Now, so says the Rebbe Akiva Eger, what happens if the tree that I'm looking at is an orla tree? Okay. Ani mistapek im yivarech. I'm concerned if a person should be allowed to bless. Kevan de'iyev shalei ha'anos mipirya. You can't benefit from the fruit. So does that carry over to the blossoms itself? V'chein bedina de simon resh chof hei siv gimel ha'ro'e pri chadosh. Im ha'pri hu be'isur ola im yivarech v'heichod ha'avi safek. So he says, he brings another case which is, would be similar, and that is where it talks about, it's actually the in source 5, is what he brings the similar case, which is a simon earlier, which says the following. Haroi prichadosh mischadesh, I'm just dropping it down to source 5 for a second. Haroi prichadosh mischadesh mishon l'shon mevorech shechiyanu afilu ro'e ubiyad chaveroi. There's a halacha, which the Shulchan Aruch records, that you may be able to say shechiyanu on seeing a new fruit. Even if you're not actually eating it, you're not even touching it, somebody else has a new fruit, you can say the bracha of shechiyanu on seeing the new fruit. The Shulchan Aruch concludes that we do it, and we do it when we eat, which is why this particular bracha, as recorded in Shulchan Aruch, is not something which we're so familiar with, which is because there are more paskins that we do it based on eating. But nonetheless, Rabbi Akiva Eger says, in a theoretical realm, we have two brachas which are based on sight, the bracha of seeing the blossoms, and the bracha of perhaps by seeing a fruit and saying shechiyanu. So in both these instances, Rabbi Akiva Eger's question is, what happens if it is orla? What happens if it's within the first 3 years of its growth? That's Rabbi Akiva Eger's question.
Is this birchas hanenin or birchas hamitzvahs? If it's birchas hamitzvahs, mitzvahs la'avahenus nitnu. But on the other hand, here it's linked to re'iyah, and re'iyah is anah, because it's in the text. So that's, I think...
There's a lot going on over here. There's a lot going on over here. Which is, so Dr. Yeager touched on two very important points. Tebby, there was any other thoughts?
I don't know if you're going to get, but can you do it on someone else? Because if I should do it from passing by your house and I see a tree now to make a bracha, it's not mine, so why would that be different than normal?
Okay, right. So what Tebby's making a good point is that...
Okay, please continue.
So Tebby's question was, is that, look, you're allowed to make a bracha on somebody else's blossoms, right? I'm not stealing their blossoms in general by making a bracha, which means to say that re'iyah might be a little different, right? So the reason why this is such a fascinating question is because it opens up so many different doors over here. And let's look at them all together. Yes.
The blossoms has to only be in a fruit tree.
Great. That's another question Dr. Simpson is bringing. You see, all these considerations that you're bringing up are all the factors that Rabbi Akiva Eger has opened up in front of us. The notion of Mrs. Lavle Henostinto, which we're going to get to in a second. The notion of, is it a fruit tree or not? The notion of, is re'iyah different to actual smell or taste? These are all the questions which are starting to come into, you understand? It seems like a simple question, but it's not such a simple question because all these considerations are what's going into. Now, Rabbi Akiva Eger actually dodges the bullet over here. Because listen to what he says. He has a sofek, so he answers it in a way that he doesn't answer it. His response is, nearly... I would say, and this is the third last line in source 3, nearly de yivarech, a person should say the bracha, to v'loy mikre sofek bracha, keva de hadin, de sofek orla b'chutz la'aretz mutar, im kein ro'u lehonus mimenu umivarech shapir. So Rabbi Akiva Eger says, look, there's a halacha. The halacha is that sofek orla, that if you don't know if a tree is orla or not in chutz la'aretz, we can be mekel. That doesn't mean to say that I'm not looking at the details. It means to say that I really truly don't know and I have no way of accessing those details. In such an instance, you'll say, the sofek in chutz la'aretz we paskin is mutar. So over here, generally speaking, you're going to be passing a cherry blossom, and You don't know what the halacha is. So you don't know what the tree is. So you would say, because it's a safek, because this is my safek, which I'm presenting to you with all the different considerations you've mentioned, therefore that is a safek of orla b'chutzaretz, and I will say it's mutter in this particular instance. Generally speaking, when you have a safek in brachos, we paskin lekula, which means that you wouldn't say a brach if you don't know, unless it's birkas hamazon and perhaps birkas haTorah, which maybe daraisa. Nonetheless, Rabbi Kevagas says in this case, but you see he hasn't answered the question, right? He's just applying a law in Orla, in Safek Orla, to this case. So now, that leaves us the question. So let's start at the very beginning. So Dr. Yeager brought up a very good point, and let's start from here. Is that in general, we need to think about brachas in categories. Brachas isn't one big swath of information. You know, bracha isn't, there are very different types of brachas, and they act differently, and they react differently. So we need to appreciate what type of bracha this is in the first place. So in general, the way the rubric which is seen by Chazal is the following: is that on the top of the pedestal are two brachas midaraisa, and they are Birkas haTorah, according to most Rishonim, and Birkas haMazon. Right? Where do we know Birkas haMazon from the Torah? Ve'achalta v'savata v'erachta. And where do you know Birkas haTorah from the Torah? Kishem Hashem Ekra. When I call out Hashem's name, Havu Godel Elokeinu. Good. If the bracha is midaraisa, it has to have a source in the Torah. Okay, so those are the two brachas midaraisa. Interestingly enough, if you think about those two brachas, they're actually on radically different ideas. Birkas hamazon is when I have now enjoyed something in this world, I have imbibed something, I'm sustained by something, so therefore my response is v'ochalta v'savata, I've eaten, I've been satiated, my response is a blessing. Whereas Birkas haTorah is actually almost the opposite. Birkas haTorah is not on a physical item. It's not on a physical pleasure. It's on an intellectual investment. It's on a spiritual involvement. And interestingly enough, it happens to be that we say Birkas haTorah before the activity rather than after the activity, like Birkas haMazon. Fascinating, okay? So those are the two, we'll call those are our two framework creators in terms of brachas. Now, the Sefer HaChinuch says, and this is really worthwhile, to read the Sefer HaChinuch on the bracha of Birkas haMazon. It's just an eye-opener. It changes everything about the way we look at brachas. So he has one paragraph of his greater thesis. There's nothing less than a thesis when he writes that. It's beautiful. He says the following. He says, those are the Birkas Midaraisa. Now I'd like to categorize for you all brachas Midrabanan. All brachas Midrabanan. He's going to categorize in this paragraph. Here we go. So he says in source 6. Sefer HaChinuch, this is mitzvah, Shin Lamed. Taf Lamed. V'acharei Zois. Nagid Derech Klal Chiyuv HaBrachos Midrabanan. I want to tell you, after now talking about the brachas Midaraisa, I want to tell you the types of brachas Midrabanan they are. V'heim, Levarech Koidem HaAchila V'Shtia B'chol Dova Shiyesh Boitam Klal. So the first of the brachas midarabanan is blessing before anything which gives you any benefit of taste. Okay, the food, if you're going to drink or eat something which gives you benefit of taste at all, v'acharav komoichen, and similarly afterwards. What's an example of eating something which may not have benefit to taste? But let's say you're swallowing a medicine, something like that. So just be careful, you see what he's saying over here? There's no bracha on something which has not got a benefit to taste. But on the other hand, even if you're having a small morsel, much less than a kazayas, even just the taste itself is grounds for the bracha rishona. Right? So you see just in the careful wording as the Sefer HaChinuch has worded it. So to say a bracha beforehand and afterwards. V'chein, chivonu levorech al kol reach tov shenariach koidem areach avoloi achrov. And similarly, when one smells something really good, one says a bracha. There's three types of birkas reach: atzei b'samim, isei b'samim, and minei b'samim. And there's also reach tov laperos. There's numerous brachas on scent. Klala sheldava. This category, the rule of this category is al kol shaguf nene boy, anything which the body is gaining some form of benefit from, kavu boy bracha. The bracha is established on it. Okay, and this is what's called. This category is called birkas hanenin. Category number one is the bracha of benefit, which is interesting. Where did Chazal draw this format from?
It's a kabachomer from if you make a bracha.
No, this is an extension of Birkas haMazon, if you think about it. Meaning, what do we have from the Torah? The Torah tells us that when you eat and benefit from something, we say a bracha. So Chazal say, let's extend that, not just afterwards, beforehand. Not just when it comes to mazon, which satiates you, anything. Not just food, smell. You understand? What Chazal are doing is they're extending the concept of birkas hamazon into this category called birkas hanenu. Category number one. Category number two. V'chein chivanu levarech Hashem ulehoidos lefonov al hakol hatova asher gualanu. We thank Hashem for all the good that He's given us. What's the good? Says the Sefer HaChinuch, Ba'asoseinu mitzosov hayakoros. The fact that we can do what He wants. You understand what that means? God is infinite. And we, a little puny human being, a speck of stardust, is doing something which He said He wants. Thank you, Hashem. Thank you for making me significant by allowing me to do this. That's what a Birkas HaMitzvah is. Right, we're not just some hopeless biological entity which is cruising off the third last arm of the Milky Way. What's happening over here is that you are empowered to be part of the infinite by doing a mitzvah. That's what's happening. Thank you, Hashem, for allowing me that access. And we say this bracha before we do the mitzvah in general, with one or two exceptions. And the reason is like the bracha we say in Kriyas HaTorah. So what's he saying? Where did the Rabbanon get this format of bracha mid Rabbanon, Birkas HaMitzvah? As an extension of the Doraisa of Birkas HaTorah, right? You see what's happening over here? They're drawing out the mid Rabbanon categories. And by the way to identify Birkas HaMitzvah is, its format is different. A Birkas HaMitzvah will always have the words, Asher Kiddishana B'mitzvah Savet Sivanu, as opposed to Birkas HaNenen, Borei Priya Eitz, which doesn't have any command format. Is a part of the bracha. And now the last category, which is the most fascinating, is there's another category of blessing which is midrabanan, to thank Hashem on the strength of His actions. A person who sees, let's say, the Mediterranean from time to time, not frequently. And there are numerous brachas. In this category would be?
Lightning.
Thunder. There's all kinds of brachas which would be Birkas HaShevach, where you're responding to the Oitzem Gvurosov, the strength of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. Fascinatingly enough, Halachik Nafkamina. Between these brachas, is I'm not going to read it inside, but nonetheless, in the next source, in the Yosef Das says this very clearly, is that there is a halachic difference between the first two and the last of these brachas, the Birkas HaNenen and Sai Birkas HaMitzvah, as opposed to Birkas HaShevach. And that is, Birkas HaShevach is always afterwards. Birkas HaShevach is a response to the phenomena in the world, and we are responding by giving Hashem Shevach through this bracha. As opposed to Birkas HaNenen, and as opposed to Birkas HaMitzvah, which in general the format is, before access, I request some form of permission, or I am praising Hashem before accessing the mitzvah or the nehenin or the hana. Birkas HaShevach is in response, which is afterwards. I hear the thunder, I say the bracha. I see the Yamagadol, I say the bracha. Understand? So there is a difference in terms of when the bracha actually belongs, in terms of these categories. And this, says the Sefer HaChinuch, is the general category of all brachas. So now, when we return to our case of Birkas HaIlonos, what type of bracha does it sound like it is? This is complicated, you see, because we notice that in the Gemara itself, it immediately precedes the Gemara which talks about Birkas HaReach. Birkas HaReach, the bracha on smell, is squarely in the category of Birkas HaNenin, where you're enjoying something in the world. Okay? And in fact, the bracha itself, what's the Nusach HaBracha if you turn back to page 1?
There's no
Shekhar Shanus, there's no Birkas HaMitzvah, but whether it's Shevach or Nenin. It talks about that Hashem, you created things in your world for us to benefit. So it sounds like we're in the category of the realm of benefits. Right? We're in the world, we're in the realm of Birkas HaNen, and Hashem created something which we're enjoying. However, at the same time, it does also sound like we're, you know, when you see the greatness of God, it's like, it also sounds a little bit like, you know, when you're seeing the Yam HaGadol, when you're seeing a phenomenon in the world and you're responding, you're saying, Hashem, what a beautiful world you created. You see, this bracha seems to ride the tightrope at this point in time before going further as to whether we're in the realm of Shevach or the realm of Hana. And the reason why this is important for our question is, let's come back to Reki Vega's question. Can I benefit from a tree which is Orla? The answer is, you have to ask yourself is, what type of bracha is this? You see this? What type of bracha? If this is a Birkas HaShevach, I am not drinking the water of the Mediterranean Sea when I'm saying that bracha. I'm simply expressing my gratitude to Hashem at the spectacle. You understand? If it's a Birkas HaShevach. If it's a Birkas HaNerin, it might be a little more complicated. It might be linked to the actual Hanah given from that tree. So that's number one. Okay? Before we get further. Yes, Avi.
Well, what is the Isra of the Hanah from
Morlok? Okay, great. So what time, so how far is the extent of the Isra Allah? Right, so that's part of the question we have to ask. So maybe what we'll do is, before even going forward, let's actually address that, because that might be one of the limiting categories, or the limiting principles over here. So speaking just to Avi's concern, I just want to actually jump to for a moment to source 15. So this is one of the proofs which is brought. In source 15, the Mishnah in Orla says, what part of the tree is actually Asur, Mishnah Orla? So the Mishnah says, Ha'alim va'lulavin u'mea gufonim v'smadar mutarim ba'ola. So the leaves, the lulavim, right, the sprouts for the new leaves, u'mea gufonim v'smadar. Even the, we'll call smadar is like the growing, like this is almost like a blossom or the future growth, mutarim ba'ola, revai, and they are mutar in netta revai, uvenazir, v'asurim v'ashera. If you have something which is sprouting forth, then it's going to turn into a fruit that is asur. So there's a machlokes in the Mishnah as to whether the smadar itself is asur. And the Rambam paskins, interestingly enough, he quotes, this is the Rambam in Ma'aseh Sheni, he says, Ha'alin, in the next source, Ha'alin va'lulavim megafonim va'smadar mutar bo'ola v'revoi. He paskins the smadar, in fact, is mutar in revoi, which is what leads some poiskim to say that maybe this isn't even part of the orla over here. Okay, so what you'll see some of the poiskim say is that before even getting into the bracha side of thing, on the orla side of thing, is this really orla? Some people said that based on this Rambam, it should be mutar. Nonetheless, we should note that it is a machlokes in the Mishnah, and the Rambam is not the only person in the sugya over here. There are many who argue on the Rambam. So I don't want to focus so much on that because that's more of an orla question. Where what you're going to paskin in Hilchas Orla. I want to go back to the Brachos realm and say, what in the Brachos realm is significant to us? That's where I want to go. But yes, that point is very, very well taken. So here's perhaps, let's continue in the realm of Brachos. So I just want to engage with you just in a few fascinating sources. First source is to be found in source 10. This is in Eshel Avram, that's the Prima Godem, in Kuf Ayin Aleph. So this is the Eshel Avram in Kuf Ayin Aleph has a very fascinating case that he's talking about over there, and it relates back to our bracha case. The case that he's talking about is when Mazel Tov, we have a Chasan and Kala, and everybody is very happy, and we're trying to celebrate and make them happy. So here is the question that is at hand. In source 10, third line in, there's a little period in the little sentence, and it says, Yirah Eli. It would appear to me, which means to say he doesn't have a, we'll call it a concrete proof, but he's saying, from my own estimation, this is what I would say. Yirah Eli, it would seem to me, Peros ha'asurim ba'hano, ba'orla v'kila ha'keren. Let's say you have a fruit which is not allowed to be used for any benefit, not just eating, no benefit. Asur levazois osam la'shlichon lifnei chasan v'kala. You can't throw those fruits, like say you'll throw nuts and grapes towards a chasan and kala in the days before confetti. Lismoach bohem b'mokom tit v'refes. So you're going to throw it towards them in a place where there's like mud on the floor, because what's going to happen? They're going to get destroyed, meaning it's very nice, and you know, everybody's feeling happy, and there's grapes in the air. And at the same time, what's going to end up is it's going to land in the ground and get destroyed. Vavah gav de mitzvois lav lehonos nidnu. Even though mitzvois are not to be benefited from, v'oid she'en nene mikuf ha'pri, and you're not actually getting benefit from the actual body of the fruit itself, mikol makom bizui ikar. There is a disgrace of the mitzvah here. V'lav mishum hefset oichlin nagubar elosh osu levazos oichlin levayit betoveh. He says you can't be disgracing fruits, and certainly something which is an Isur Hanah in this particular instance. That's what the Eshel Avram says. He's not talking about Birkas Eilonos. He's talking about making people happy at the expense of fruit. Okay, so now, what happens is this thought is translated into the following. We're looking into the words of the Rav Po'alim. Rav Po'alim was Rav Yosef Chaim and Eliyahu Al-Chacham, who is also more well known for his other sefer called the Ben Ish Chai. One of the greatest of Sardin poiskim. He lived in Baghdad in the day when Baghdad was predominantly Jewish. They say, just so you should realize, in the 30s, in the 30s, the marketplace would not operate on Shabbos in Baghdad because there were so many Jews there. Just so you should appreciate the transformation between the 30s and the 50s of what occurred in the Middle East. In the 1500s, building up in the Ottoman Empire, there were more than 50% of the Jews lived under the rule of Islam. Just so you should realize that, you know, it's a lost world today. And so the Ben Ish Chai, living in the 1800s, wrote a most fascinating idea. And that is, he responds to this Eshel Avram, in the top of the next page in Source 4, and he says, he quotes Eshel Avram, and his response is the following, V'im came, benidon didam nami, in our case of Birkas Ailonos, Birkas Ariyah hi mitzvah. The bracha of seeing of these fruits is a mitzvah. Va'af agav de pri hayotze min alonos osur ba'ano, mitzvahs lav lehonos. Even though, in the end of the day, the fruit itself, or anything growing from that tree, may be osur ba'ano, what I'm gaining from it is not a problem of ba'ano, because mitzvahs weren't given to benefit. What does that mean? So this klal, this concept, appears numerous times in the Gemara. The rule appears in a number of places. One such place is the Gemara in Nedarim. The Gemara in Nedarim is talking about how the Gemara is on Tes Zion Amud Aleph, going over to Tes Zion Amud Beis. And the Mishnah tells us that there is a notion of a neder, which can actually be applied to a mitzvah, which means a person can make a koinam, he can make a sukkah, his sukkah or her sukkah, osur upon oneself. Generally speaking, you can't make a shvur. You can't say, I'm making a shvur to eat chazir. I'm making a shvur to do something against the Torah, because we say that's called mushpa va'oimed. You already signed the contract at Sinai. You know, so you can't have any subcontracting right now. So, however, what's happening is, when it comes to a neder operates in general on the actual item. And you say, I'm going to make this sukkah osur to me. So I'm not saying that I'm not allowed to do the mitzvah. It just happens to be that I'm not allowed to operate the mitzvah in regard to this sukkah, because now I don't have access to benefit from the sukkah. So in the middle of this discussion, the Gemara says, wait a second, that doesn't really work, because I may say that my sukkah is not allowed for me to use, but mitzvahs lav lehonos nitnu. Mitzvah, the pleasure I'm getting from my sukkah, isn't a simple physical pleasure. I may be sitting in the shade in a beautiful fall day, sipping my coffee and feeling just glorious reading the newspaper. But nonetheless, that benefit that I'm getting is fully the benefit of a mitzvah. And the rule is, mitzvahs lav lehonos nitnu. The hana which I'm getting is fully and totally a mitzvah benefit. And that's not something which can be ossered, made osser in the form of a neder. So says the Ben Ish Chai over here, what's happening over here? I'm looking at this tree. I'm enjoying the spectacle. I'm benefiting from being close to it. And I'm saying a bracha on that. Maybe all the benefit I'm getting from is fully the benefit of the mitzvah itself. And we know the mitzvah is lav lehonos nitnu. That means to say that the sum total of gain, the sum total of pleasure, is spiritual pleasure, not physical pleasure, when I'm looking at that fruit tree. And therefore is not subject to the isser hanah that is placed by Orla. Fascinating. You see, this is the reason why this is fascinating, is conceptually to think about this. You know, sometimes you think about particular brachos and mitzvahs as channeling, meaning I'm so overwhelmed with the beauty of the world that Hashem is giving me a way to be able to thank Him via that beauty. But the beauty I'm still getting is we'll call it a cerebral, a very ethereal beauty, which I, as a sensitive individual, can gain, and I'm saying a bracha to Hashem. What the Ben Ish Chai is saying, no, it's more than that. What you're doing over here is, you should realize that all that beauty and appreciation is in fact under the rubric of mitzvah. What he's doing is transforming that process into not just we'll call it an emotional, psychological process. He's saying the entire process is a spiritual one. That's what is going on in the Ben Ish Chai, which is reframing the way we enjoy the world. Okay, that's what the Ben Ish Chai is saying over here. And therefore, that spiritual benefit is not one is not under the rubric of the Isser Orla, because it is purely a mitzvah benefit. That's what the Ben Ish Chai says. Fascinating way of looking at it. He's reframing the way we actually look at the world and enjoy the world. Fascinating. Okay, you'd have to ask this question by, I can see Michael's got his eyebrows raised, by Birkas Anenin in general. Right? Meaning, why would you say that? Why would you say that any fruit I eat then is not this? Meaning, it's a mitzvah to sustain myself, right? But apparently over here, because there's a bracha, there's a mitzvah to say this bracha, that therefore is now the scope of my perspective and appreciation. That's what the Ben Ishchai says. Fascinating idea. He goes on one step further. Let's take this one step further. The Ben Ishchai says another idea. And that is, V'oidik atayma, in the second line, V'oidik atayma de'eno ne'ne miguf apri, you're also not benefiting from the actual body of the fruit. This is what he's saying. Fascinating thing. There's a folklore story, and actually we get a PJ library for our kids, which is one of these cross denominational libraries, which sends out all these Jewish libraries and sends out all these books. And some of them are very fascinating. Some of them are less Jewish than they really are. And the one that came out recently was a very fascinating story about. They said it was a Jewish folklore. I don't think it's Jewish folklore. But nonetheless, it was a story about three brothers. And the three brothers, all they said that they're going to meet each other in 10 years' time, and they're going to bring back a gift which from a far land, which would be unique. So the first brother goes out to a far land, and he sees a land which is engaged in magic, and he sees this ball, which you can see the future, or you can see all the reaches of the kingdom. So he takes that back. The other brother goes to another place. He goes to a far eastern country, and he sees that there's a carpet there which is moving, and he realizes it's a flying carpet which can take you anywhere. He brings that back. He buys that, negotiates. That's his item. And the third brother goes to another land. He sees a tree, and there's a beautiful, beautiful pomegranate tree in full blossom, and there's only one pomegranate on it. And he reaches out to the pomegranate, falls into his hand, and the tree disappears. And he realizes this must be a magic pomegranate. They all regroup, and they're showing each other all their unique wares. And the brother who has the crystal ball pulls out the crystal ball and sees that the far reaches of the kingdom, there's a princess who is ill. And so they say, what can we do about this? So the brother says, well, I have a magic carpet. So they get on the magic carpet. They go to the far reaches of the kingdom. And there she is. She's sick. What can she do? There's no cure. They don't know what to do. The third brother says, you know what I'll do is I'll give my pomegranate. And he gives her pomegranate to the princess. And lo and behold, she heals. Now, the king had said that whoever heals the princess will get her hand in marriage. So who's going to marry her now? Right, we have three brothers because there are three contributors to her well-being right now. The one who was able to got the Hatzalah call through the crystal ball. The one who was actually had the ambulance, and the other one actually had. This is definitely not a Jewish folklore, right? And so the reason why this is interesting is that the princess was machriya in the following way. She says, "You know what? I'll decide who I'm going to marry." She says to the first brother,
"Definitely not
did your." Haray atah. Anyway, so she says, let me think about this for a moment. Did your crystal ball change where through this process? He says, no, it's still working. She turns to the second brother. Did your carpet change? No, it's still going at full speed. She says to the third brother, did your pomegranate still work? He says, no, you ate it. And she says, I'll marry you because you gave the greatest sacrifice to my well-being. Now, think about this. Like, lahavdil. Now, this is a very interesting concept, which means to say that real giving involves sacrifice. What's going on over here? Says the Ben Ishchai, I'm looking at the fruits. Have I imbibed, have I diminished the fruit by looking at it? And his answer is, no, the fruit's still there. So says the Ben Ishchai, that therefore, you're not benefiting from it itself. Says the Ben Ishchai. Wait a second, the bracha says, it says the Ben Ishchai in the continuation. I don't mean to say that I can now sit down, put up my picnic blanket, and harvest all the food and eat it right now. What it means to say is that, in general, this tree will provide benefit for humanity, and I'm enjoying the spectacle right now. That's what's going on. Which means to say, it sounds like he's pushing it into the realm of Birkas.
The third case.
Hashevach. That's what it sounds like he's saying. This is not about the benefit I'm getting right now and here. It sounds like the enjoyment of the spectacle itself.
We said we do it after.
Yes.
Doing it before.
Well, not necessarily, because, meaning, Moshe, I don't know about you, but I've not been walking around with blinders, you know, every time I walk down the street, so I shouldn't see the tree in order to, right, so just, you know, we do see it and say the bracha, yeah.
But he's also making a conceptual analysis of what's called Isuri Hanah.
Yes.
Isur Hanah, in general, is derived, like we have by Pesach, it's derived from Achila, and Achila implies
Great.
Consumption.
Great.
Which is that if you didn't consume it, If the hanoah is still there, and we, for example, we have by me'ilah. There's a rule. If you want to be over me'ilah, you have to either have to decrement from it, or you have to have a benefit. You
know, exactly. So exactly, kind of speaking to Sean's point. There's a fascinating proof which I thought about. I remember it from the days when I learned sukkah in yeshiva, and I was so happy to see the Chavos Ya'ir says this. The Mishnah in Sukkah talks about the following, and it says, during the days of the Simchas Beis HaShoev in Yerushalayim, they put up these magnificent lamps in the Beis HaMikdash. And these lamps were so powerful that it says that a woman would be able to separate wheat by their light in all of Yerushalayim. That's what the Gemara says. That's just, you know, commenting on the Mishnah. Says Tosfos, wait a second, I don't understand. How can she be using the light of the Beis HaMikdash? What's fueling that light? That light is Hekdesh money, right? I mean to say that's temple fund, right? Incorporated. Now, which means to say that you are using the light of the Beis HaMikdash when you're using it for whatever purpose you are on the night of Beis Simchas HaShoev in Yerushalayim. That's a problem. So Tosfos, and Tosfos says, because this is actually the last source in the over here. And so Tosfos says in source 20, he goes, Isha Hoysa Boreris Chitin the Simchas Beis HaShoev. He says, Birushali Parech, Hath Boreris, Ha'iko Mi'ila de Shemen Upsilos, Ha'yushal Hektesh, Umishani, the Kol Umare Ureach, Ein Bohem Mishu Mi'ila, which is what Shalom was saying. You can't, there's no such thing as Mi'ila of using or misusing Hektesh when it comes to three things. When it comes to hearing something, benefiting from the voice of Hektesh, let's say you're listening to the Levium, or whatever else it is, Marev Areach, Ein Bohem Mishu Mi'ila, and then he asks the question, because it says that there's no Mi'ila, but there might be an Isra in the toes, and which means to say that it may not be that you're actually, you might not be able to be prosecuted to the degree of paying Keren V'Chomish and Asham, but nonetheless, it may be Asr. And so Tosfos ends in this middle ground where he's saying it might still be Asr, which doesn't help us so much. But nonetheless, this is an indicator of the notion that maybe sight is a little bit different to regular benefit. Okay? I want to take it to its last step, just to think about it from the following perspective. The last step is really what the Ben Ish Chai was ending with, and that is the generality of benefit over here. So here's an example. So what I'd like to do is just to very, very briefly read the introduction of the Tshuvas Doivev Meisharan, Rav Berish Wiedenfeld. And he says this in source 17, the very top of the page. He says, listen to the way he frames the question, just to see the brilliance of the way he looks at this. He says the following: Al davar shenishal kavod tarasai, beroye parachim melav levin benisan demuvor b'shas brachos mem gimel tzarich levarich. He asks the following: Im gam beroye ilan shir ola shemelav lev tzarich levarich. Do you say that when you see an ola tree, you need to say a bracha? Kema da peros asurin ba'ana. Since the fruit are actually prohibited from benefiting from, in Cain, ulai doimel ilan srak dein vorchin alav. Maybe it should be like, coming back to Dr. Simpson's question, maybe it should be like a non-fruit bearing tree, which he says dein vorchin alav. In general, most of the poskim say we don't say a bracha on a non-fruit bearing tree, which seems to indicate that the bracha of ilanos is related to the fruit itself. So do you say that might be an extension of it? Oy Dilma, on the other hand, do you say, or do you say that no? Well, the fruit itself is available to those who aren't bound by Orla. For instance, a non-Jew or a person who is sick. Would you say that no? There are people in the world who could gain benefit from it. So what is he doing? He views this as opposed to the Rav Poalim, Rav Ben Ishchai. He looks at this in terms of benefit. What's it why? Because we see that it is directly related to fruit-bearing trees. And if so, do you say that the benefit needs to be localized or general? If it's localized and I can't access it right now, then there's no way, reason I can say a bracha. If you say it's general, then there are people who can, in general, benefit from this. So therefore, there will be a bracha. So he goes through a beautiful, beautiful arichos. One of the things he says most succinctly is the following. He brings a most beautiful proof. The proof he brings is from a Mishnah in Maaser Sheni. Just reversing for a moment into source 13 and 14. The Mishnah says the following: Kerem Ravai If you have Kerem Ravai, which means that you have a vineyard, which is in its fourth year of growth, the first 3 years are Orla, the fourth year you can only use when you take it to Yerushalayim, very similar to Maaser Sheni. So he said, let's say you have a Kerem Ravai, you have a fourth year product. Metzainen Oisai, Bekoizes Ois Adama, that what you would do is you would make a special sign, you put little mounds around it, that for the public to know that this is actually Kerem Ravai. And if it was of Orla, you'd place like shards of pottery around that tree. And if there were graves in a person's, let's say, near vicinity, one would place lime around it so people would know that Kohanim shouldn't go that direction. Gamliel says, you only need to make these signs during the Shemitah year. So, let's analyze this machlokes for a moment. What's going on in this Mishnah? What's at stake in this Mishnah? The Mishnah is telling us that you need to make signs around certain things which exist in your property. Why? What's the benefit of these signs? Is that? It's a public service announcement. Right? Not everybody knows. Not everybody knows that this is an Orla tree, this is a Kerem Ravai tree, not everybody knows there's a grave over here. So you have the responsibility of placing some sort of sign there to warn the public. Says Ramon Gramon Gamliel, wait a second, coming back to Tibby's point. Wait a second! Why do you need to do that? This is my apple tree in my backyard. I don't need to tell people it's Orla because you know what? They shouldn't be in my backyard eating my apples. Very simple. Says Rosh Hashanah Gamliel, I only need to put up the sign for public service when during Shemitah, when everybody can benefit from the trees and the fruits and the vegetables and everything else, right? That's the only time I need to put the sign there, because in the rest of the 6 years of Shemitah, the way the way the Baruch says is Halitayul Rosh of Yamos. If he wants to steal, let him steal Orla, and that, you know, good for him. That's what Ron Gamliel says. Okay, fantastic. Now, so let's analyze this for a moment. What does the Mishnah not say? What does the Mishnah not say, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel?
Someone might come and want to make a birchus lattes on it.
What happens if it's Nisan, and you have your apple tree which is blossoming in your backyard, and now people are walking by, and it may be Orla? Why doesn't Rav Shimon Gamliel say, it's true, you shouldn't put up a sign during fruit-bearing season, because people might come and take it, and they're allowed to? But what about during the rest of the years? It might be Nisan and they're going to see the blossoms and they can't say a bracha on blossoms during Nisan. I should still put up a sign to say, don't say a bracha, it's Orla. Put something around the tree. You see from the mission, it's a mission, says the Davev Mishraim. Beautiful. You see from the mission, it's a mission that you're not concerned about people walking by and saying a berakas alon. It's speaking to Tibby's point, which means to say, coming off what we were just talking about, maybe sight is different. People can walk by, and it's not considered a problem to say a bracha on a parasol, which is what the Dover Mishraim says. Beautiful, beautiful insight which he shares. What we see over here, there's a little bit more to talk about, but we are a little short on time. But what we're seeing from over here is this, the numerous tiers that this touches. It touches on what type of bracha this is in the first place. Berakas Hashelach, Berakas Hanenin. It talks about a little bit about the notion of mitzvahs lav lehanos nidnu. Is the pleasure I'm gaining fully a pleasure of mitzvah because I was commanded to, or is it more of a pleasure which I'm channeling towards God, which is the Ben Ish Chai is talking about? Is there a difference between benefit which I'm gaining from, where it's physical benefit, when I'm actually imbibing from it, or is it there's more of a pleasure which is beyond, I'm not nene meguf hapri? We talked about the geder of Orla itself. How far does Orla extend? As we saw in the Mishnah beforehand. And now we talked about how careful you have to be about the public, which is an indicator perhaps about how much the getter of this Mishnah itself. And what the central theme seemed to be over here is when looking at this, do we look at this as a very particular bracha related to the benefit of the fruits now, or do I see it as a much bigger idea of benefit in general from the spectacle that I'm watching right now? So I hope this is, as a very fascinating indicator, you see one question is the lever or the gateway into a much broader scope of spectrum. What I'd like to offer is that there are numerous trees in our neighborhood which are in full blossom. In fact, if you wanted to go to the Brooklyn Botanical Gardens, there are 116 cherry blossoms right now in bloom. I'm not going to say we should do a field trip, but if anybody's interested in joining me after Shir, There is one right now on Tritsom Street, just if you go to North Cedarhurst, about 5 minutes away from here. If anybody wants to join, with the greatest of pleasure, we can go and say, first opportunity and my very nala mitzvahs on the beautiful cherry blossoms over there. It's just past where Broadway between Arbuckle and Oakland. There's one of those small streets that only has one block. There's a cherry blossom on the side close to West Broadway. Rabbi Chanan ben Akash Omar Ratzah Kodesh Baruch Hu L'Zakos Yisrael L'Fichach Yibol Eim Torah Mitzvah Shenemar Adonai Chavetz Man Tzikoy Yagdil Torah V'Yadir. Thank you.